Good afternoon. Today is Monday, March the 12th, 72nd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Super Duper Intendent of Schools, Gary Eagles.
Hey, Brian. Great to see you today.
And yet you found another friend.
Well, I did, but I had to go all the way to Kansas to do it.
So I guess I don't have to ask you what you did this weekend.
That's right.
But it took you about 35 states to find a friend.
Well, I did. But I've got a good one with me today. I've got Kevin Honeycutt with us today. He's an ed tech specialist. And this man has just got a wealth of information and knowledge about how to help teachers engage students.
Now, when you say educational tech guy, is that an internet guy that knows how to run strings?
No, this is an educator who knows how to work his way around technology and is willing to play, take risks, and in the process, be a learner, lifelong learner.
But is he willing to speak? Okay,
waiting.
We got to laugh. There we go. Yeah. All right, words are out. When we come back, we'll find out what this means either to your kids or to your communities, and we'll do it when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Gary Eagles and Kevin Honeycutt. But before we do, apparently there's a quote in the offing.
Yes, here's my quote. All right. A good quarterback throws the ball where the receiver is going to be, not where they're standing when the ball is snapped. And a good educator has to throw an education where kids are going to be, not where they're standing right this minute.
That was almost Gretzky.
Yeah, exactly.
Almost.
Exactly.
Almost.
Love. Yes, so yes.
Yeah, I suppose if I liked hockey, I probably would have gotten excited about that one.
Spend some time in Canada and try to, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I would imagine, well, you know, coming from Ottawa, wherever. Gary, how'd you find him?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Some of my folks in the county superintendent realm in California attended a national conference of regional service agencies, and Kevin was the keynote speaker, and they came back and were so jazzed at what he did and how he motivated an entire audience of superintendent types like me that that I got on Kevin's website. I took a look at what he does and how he goes about doing it, and I said, this is the fellow that I want here in the year in which we're launching a real push for incorporating technology in our classrooms in Humboldt County.
Culturally in the classrooms or structurally in the classrooms?
Both. Because when you introduce technology and you do it right, you change the culture of education.
So if the kids are embracing, and the teachers, I suppose, need mm-hmm. to be embracing
yes.
also, can you afford this stuff?
Well, I'll tell you what. One of the things that I appreciate about Kevin is that he shows teachers the ways to make things work regardless of the budget. If there's a will, there's a way, and he shows them the way. And he's got one of the most fantastic websites.
Well, let's start with some of the more rural parts of our area, Kevin,
yeah.
that are on dial-up.
Right.
How much of a challenge is it, or is it a challenge, for those classrooms
right.
and those teachers to be able to participate and to get some of the good stuff
yeah.
from you?
Thanks for asking that question. No one ever asked these kinds of questions. I talk everywhere.
Don't
right?
expect the expected.
I go to South Dakota. I just speak on the Lakota Reservation. I go to some pretty, you know what I find? I find in the most extreme places, the best things happen. Because people are open-minded. You know, Australia had radio-based schools of the air, way back in the day. They were teaching kids on radio. I mean, how cool is that? Then the internet comes along. Australia has it all over us in some ways because they're far-flung and they need solutions. They say never waste a good crisis. We got one going on right now. And big change happens in these kinds of times. And I'm excited by the possibility. So you've got dial-up. Okay, fine. So what can we do with what you've got, what the taxpayers already paid for? That's what I want to show you. I want to show you, you know, a whole page of free web resources that you can use tomorrow. If you can't stream video, then don't stream video. What can you do with those machines right now that makes a difference? And make sure it makes a difference.
Do the folks you work with tend to focus on what they can't do or what they can do.
Another good one. You're throwing a softball down the middle.
Time to retire.
I'm out. Right down the middle. Well, I love it because, you know, they shouldn't focus on what they can't do. And my job is to come in and be a marriage counselor between those two notions, right? I got to say, stop complaining about what you can't do. You have a Swiss Army knife. There's a lot of blades that work. Let's carve something. That's what I want to do. Get off your butt and let's do something that matters. And I want to tell those at-risk kids the same thing. Okay, I know you can play with other people's brilliance. Can you make anything? Show me what you can do with this, right? This, the web and technology sets up a buffet of learning possibilities for kids, and by and large, they're eating the napkins, right? So I want to show them what they can do. And I want to hold their feet to the fire until they do something, right? And then they're proud of that, and then push that. We live in an amazing time. I'm excited and optimistic about this time that we live in. I don't think we have limits. I think in these kinds of times, bold people do great things, and scared people pull back. These are times that you can do great things. And that's my message out there to kids. And I see their eyes get big. You can't do that without work ethic. You still got to have work ethic. And quality still matters. So you don't get to cheat. But if you're good at these tools, you have an unfair advantage of sorts if you get off your behind and do something. That's the challenge I want to throw to kids. Is you can sell worldwide. I can show you a kid who's 16 years old who made this, designed it in free software, upload it to a site called Shapeways in the Netherlands, and now he's selling it worldwide.
There really is something here.
That's right. What it is a Clovis point. This is a spear tip, right, invented in 30,000 years ago by one of our ancestors. And now this is sort of a model I like to put out there and say, we can hunt with technology, and we better. Stop playing with it and let's hunt with it, because the world is competing right now, right? If you read The Coming Jobs War, there's some numbers that should scare you and wake you up, right? That 3 billion people are going to be competing for 1 billion jobs. So are kids ready for that? Do they see this coming, right?
You're talking about the entitlement generation?
Yeah.
I would think, Gary, that's the biggest challenge introducing somebody like Kevin is that a lot of these kids are coming from a perspective that I'm supposed to have. I need to have. So-and-so has. I don't have. Blah, blah, blah. And instead of personal responsibility, kind of a push away from that and say, no, government is supposed to provide me X, Y, Z. I mean, just to kind of touch that discussion the last 2 weeks and then pull away a little bit. But that concept is well-rooted in our culture.
Well,
not in our society, but in our culture.
Actually, we have to change a lot of paradigms out there, Brian. And it isn't just about what I may be entitled to or what I may think I'm entitled to. It's that we need to look at what we have enjoyed as an American society and say, wow, we've been at the top of the mountain for a long time. Well, guess what? There are a lot of other people that are chasing us and are going to take over that top of the mountain unless we do something new and different and start using the tools that we have to our advantage. We don't outnumber anybody. The largest democracy in the world is India.
Right.
When you look at the number of gifted children they have in that country alone, it outnumbers the total student population we have in America.
Yeah, right. Sheer numbers are
okay.
Sheer numbers.
So,
yeah.
So what do we have? We have creativity. We have innovation. We have forward thinking. We also have Silicon Valley.
We have Kevin,
and we have Kevin to remind us. Yeah. That it's going to take the next innovation and the next, and we can't stop.
KINS, News and Information Times 423. We'll be back with more from Kevin Honeycutt and Gary Eagles.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 427. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kevin Honeycutt and Dr. Eagles from Humboldt County Office of Ed. Kevin, before the break, you were talking a little bit about the kids having to step up, work ethics. The way that we phrased it at home was personal responsibility.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the audience has heard that one over, redundantly over.
Sure.
Do you sense, as you're talking to the kids about this new stuff, or just recognizing what is there a work ethic? Is there personal responsibility? Or is that the first thing that these little ones of any size or shape have to understand and learn before they can get into this?
So you can't hand a kid a work ethic. You can instill passion that can lead to work ethic, right? But you've got to start somewhere. So I look at these new things, and there's some things you can do that are pretty exciting that you could never do before. I can publish a book and sell it worldwide right now on a free website, open a storefront, and if I used Facebook and Twitter and social media to market my book, I could make money, or I can have puberty online. Which would you prefer your kid do? So I'm out there saying you have the capacity to sell worldwide for no money and do anything you want. Nobody can stop you but you. Let's get after it. What can you do?
Now that by itself, I would imagine, is frightening to a lot of people.
To kids, no.
It's all up to you. You can't blame anybody. You can't say that there's this or that. This is 100% on your shoulders. You win, you lose.
Right.
There's no finger pointing.
You know, it's not frightening. I think some kids want to step up. They've been waiting to get to bat for a long time, right? To real bat. And so challenge me. Go ahead and challenge me. And I want them to finish. Put something on the shelf. Deliver. And now market that. Can you sell it? Okay? And it's you against you. Can you do it? I think the right person driving that, the impassioned teacher that drives that and gets those kids to close the deal, to finish something, right? That leads to work ethic. Once I finish something, I see how good that feels to finish something, you know? I wanted to share a story. Can I share a quick story? How much time do we have?
31's our hard break.
Okay, so I'm in Shanghai, and I'm speaking at a conference, and I go to the black market, and it's not as bad as it sounds. It's actually a public store called the Black Market, but they'll show you things in there.
Really?
It's called the Black Market. You walk in, the vendor holds up this iPhone. Looks like an iPhone 4, right?
Pulls it out of the drawer. Yep.
I said, is that real? He said, China real. I said, excuse me, China real. So it's $20. Looks like an iPhone 4. Everything on it looks like an iPhone 4. I bought it. I took it back to the hotel room and I took it apart because I want to see what they're doing here. And this is an absolute knockoff. Apple spent $1 billion developing the iPhone. China knocks it off. Right? And the government will close down a ring like this once a year, but by and large, they know this happens. You know, and you can get mad. I don't want to vilify China. Their culture is different. It's an honor if I can copy you. You know, it's not the same as here. So what do I tell kids? If you have a good idea, have another one. And another one. You don't get to ride a good idea for 40 years anymore. That's over. Our schools need to challenge kids to invent, to have ideas, to iterate, right? To look at market and to invent. That's one thing we do well. A guy in the Shanghai airport said this to me. He said, are you American? I said, yeah. He said, I love Americans. I said, why? You don't know you can't. You just do. And I thought, do we still? I hope we do.
That would be probably more of a challenge to moms and dads also. Just that one simple phrase to kind of wrap your head around. Do we know?
I make my kid pay rent on his laptop. The use lease agreement, I call it. Once a week, I have to see something I'm proud of or I take it away. I didn't buy it for his infotainment. He's competing with kids around the world. As Gary said, right?
KINS, News and Information Times, 431.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a lampist to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Gary Eagles from the Humboldt County Office of Education. Hi.
Hello there.
Okay,
he's just still here.
He's curious as I'll get out where I'm going. And he's also brought along Kevin Honeycutt. Kevin is the educational technology consultant at the school districts within Humboldt County are tapping into.
Well, I had a chance to come and hear him today. In fact, of course, our focus today was on arts and technology, which is a wonderful marriage. And one of the things that I think what we need to understand is that technology can be used to explore any academic realm. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways we were talking before we went to break was this idea of making sure that, you know, today's generation keeps up the tradition of creativity and innovation that has made America what it has been in the past.
Keeps the passion.
And needs to be. Right. Absolutely.
Feed the passion,
and
yeah.
And arts do it. Technology does it. And, hey, when you combine the two.
Profit does.
Profit doesn't hurt. Profit
Let me ask you, Kevin. You certainly are much more familiar with this brand or this section of life. What percent of people on the Internet using computers that have the ability to do what you've got some of these kids doing, What percentage of that time is used for that kind of stuff versus game playing, goofing around, you know, things that I hesitate to say passive because I think it's all passive, but are non-generating versus those other areas.
Well,
is there any research on that at all?
Actually, there is research on that, but I guess I would have to go back just a little bit further. I believe a generation got past us with no mentors on the virtual playground, and kids just did things. I'm out there talking to parents about online safety and cyberbullying, right? And they want to buy a filter and be done. We have to build the one between their ears, right? We have to make demands of our kids. And who's asked them? Who's ever asked them to do anything? So it's time to do that.
Well, it's like turning your kid loose after dinner and you don't see him
until
they come home at 11 o'clock.
That's right. So anytime we sent our kids to a playground, we went and checked out the playground. We'd say, don't go down the slide. It has a rusty edge. You'll cut yourself. Seesaw's fine. Swing's fine. Do we do the same with the Internet? If we're going to let them go out there and do this, do we make demands? Do we ask anything? And we should.
Now, there are a lot of software brokers that do have those programs that we hear about, the family safe and that kind of stuff. But my impression, not that I've ever tried, is that those kids who are so inclined, that those are pretty easy to get around.
It creates, in my mind, an adversarial situation. You against me, and look how smart I am. Look, do I have that filter in my kid's friend's house? Build the one that's behavioral, that's portable. They take it with them, right? Teach. Good parenting hasn't changed. And everything you learned as a parent still works if you add the word online to the end. Do unto others as you have them do unto you, online. You are who you associate with, online. Keep doing that with everything you learned, and it still works.
So the Ten Commandments of the Internet.
It's the same. Just add the word online to the end. And so I think parents need to know that. And parents need to be involved in their kids' online life. Make a few demands, right? I mean, we can do this. I've had parents say, I don't really want to mess with her laptop. That's her private business. Are you kidding me? Buy them a diary. Don't pay attention. This connects your kid to the world and the world back to your kid. We should be involved.
Now, I have seen an awful lot of discussions about where the computers are located.
Right. Belongs in the family room.
The family room, the kitchen.
The room of the house where the carpet's most worn out.
Yeah, the public areas.
Mom and dad need to have an opinion, and that's important. And if you do that when they're young and you teach that, they'll take it with them. You know what I mean? But if we play gotcha with our kids, they got us.
Yeah, if it's an electronic diary, whoops.
They come out of the womb with an iPad in their hand. You know, that's just how it is these days. And so I don't think we need to be adversarial. I think we need to join our kids on these playgrounds. We can't demand, slam this shut because we're amputating their digital limbs in a time when they need them. You know what I mean?
Some real basic questions. You know, you were talking about research and letting kids kind of start to explore and find. Okay, if mom and dad, if we have this vacuum in between our ears or we know how to play Scrabble or go to ESPN and thank you very much, and that's about as far as we go, how do we encourage that culture, or to help provide any kind of guidance or steerage, or like we would if they were playing ball or singing or music lessons or history? How do we teach the basic skills, or is that something that others are doing?
It's happening in places, but I think there are parent groups starting. And sometimes in communities, I see this happening. There's a group of parents, and it's not an alarmist group that says, we shouldn't. What should they be doing?
Just,
it's the proactive stuff they should be doing.
Yeah.
And so these support groups form, and then they talk in the evenings, and they advise. And, you know, it's almost like an online neighborhood watch.
You mean they talk?
They do. They talk in a real room, actually.
Eyeball to eyeball, color of the eyes, the whole nine yards?
Yeah. So how much time do we have before the next break? Because I want to experiment with your listeners. Okay, so for the listeners, I want to do an experiment with you. Out there in the world, I want you to ask yourself, am I a multitasker? Can I do them more than one thing at a time?
Is that drive and texting?
Yes, that's right. We're getting to that.
Not in California, though. Okay,
so let's try that. I want you guys to do this with me. We're going to do an experiment, and I want you to do this with your teenage children. Okay, so we're going to see if we can multitask. So with your left hand, draw a circle in the air. Do this in midair. Come on. I can see you out there. Draw a circle. Draw that. That constitutes driving. Now stop. With your right hand, draw a triangle in the air. That constitutes texting and talking on the cell phone. Two very different activities for the brain. Now do them both at the same time. How's that going for you? So what the truth is that we can give away our attention one time, right? So kids need to understand, pay attention to the most important thing. Well, this comes to play in what your question was before. What are kids doing online? Should they finish one thing before they start the next thing? Or they have five things open and they're barely getting anything done. Is the technology running us or are we running it? And I think we have this moment when the adults don't know and the kids don't exactly do. And we need to come together and find ways to get the most out of this. And the one that does that best will win.
KINS, News and Information Times, 441. We'll be back with more from Kevin Honeycutt and Gary Eagles.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 444. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Gary Eagles and Kevin Honeycutt. Kevin, as you're dealing with this introduction of, I guess it's more of an introduction of passion than it is other.
Right, right.
You know, and I think that, you know, you alluded to small communities before. I think a lot of us have got the we can't do it.
Right.
Rather than let's think big and try, and maybe we only get halfway, but we're still a whole lot further down the road than where we are today.
Right. I like to create drama in this conversation, like a David and Goliath conversation. But what if your sling was amazing? You know, what if it could take down any Goliath? And what if social media was an unfair advantage? And if you used it well, you could help your kids succeed and your community succeed. I think bold people have nothing to lose. Why not try some of these things? Why not use some of these things? And when you pitch it that way, these advocates for their kids, these teachers love their kids. They will dig in dumpsters for their kids. You know what I mean? They want to. They just need direction and support. That's what they need. And to not be indicted, to be invited, right? Do this. Do this for your kids. And most teachers, I've yet to meet one that doesn't see that and want to do that, or a parent.
Let's take a shot and see what happens.
It's better than what? Waiting?
Than not. Yeah.
No, absolutely.
So you've mentioned that you've got a website. I got it right here, right?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah, kevinhoneycutt.org.
No.
Yeah. That's where I work. That's the place where I work, ESDAC. It's a long name, but it's educational services.
Yeah, the Kevin Honeycutt one looks a whole lot simpler to remember.
Yeah. And so I put a whole bunch of stuff there for people to go back. And if they click the toolbox, that toolbox on my front page is the product of 10,000 minds. I ask my network of about 10,000 teachers worldwide, what are your favorite free tools for learning and what do they do? They need to work on Macs. They need to work on PCs. Because I go into places that don't have anything.
So this is good for moms and dads?
Moms and dads, if they want to let's say you want to have your kid not say, I'm bored. By the way, my kid better never say, I'm bored, because I got plenty for him to do, right? So he's learned not to say that.
Yeah.
So show me something. What can you build? What can you have online? What can you promote? Your book? Your software? You like video games. Can you make video games? What are you building with the most powerful learning tools in human history? You know, or are you doing something? I want kids to create. On this page, if you click the toolbox at kevinhoneycutt.org, there's a whole page of free services out there on the web where kids can build, do, learn. So can parents, and I want them to. So can grandma. I have a group of ladies called the Digital Grannies who I meet with twice a year. You know what they're learning? Facebook and Twitter. They called me. They said, we want to learn Facebook and Twitter.
I probably need to sign up for that class.
I asked them why they wanted to learn. They said, we want to mentor our grandkids without embarrassing them. And they do this for no education credit. They do this just because they want to be mentors on 21st century playgrounds.
Just to
what
do
a wonderful model. We need those mentors out there.
Now, for those that would ask the question, I'm listening to you. How about getting away from this and going outside and playing in the real playground rather than the digital playground? Is there a balancing factor you put in this also to keep
Absolutely,
kids,
and that's the problem. Yeah. That's the problem. Some kids are raising themselves on this, but we did the same thing with television. moms and dads plop their kids down in front of television. Right. Now, that wasn't even this.
I know.
Television's a push technology, pushes stuff at you. This is push-pull. Pushes right. stuff at you, pulls you in. And kids are saying things. They're writing their resumes right here every day, whether we're watching or not. So, yes, balance. I tell my kid, close the lid, go outside, scuff your knee, throw a real football. There's got to be balance in everything, you know?
Yeah, go chip a tooth.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Be a kid. And I would think, Kevin, that that's probably the biggest challenge if everybody agrees, and I think they do, and I'm not sure about the cultural stuff, but that there are Little League moms and dads or the beauty pageant moms and dads. Are there moms and dads that are pushing our 10-year-old to become the electronic wizard? Ooh. Just as there are in these other areas, mm-hmm. and not vicarious as some of the others are, mm-hmm. but push, and they don't have the balance in play because the kid is showing some abilities and talents, and they forget that balance.
I haven't seen what you just described. What I have seen is very busy parents using technology to placate as a pacifier of sorts.
And Barney, electronic Barney.
And it becomes that. And there's no balance there. Now, here's the thing. Career and industry in Wichita is telling us that they don't like the product we're sending them from our schools because kids don't have soft skills. They don't know how to talk to people. Look in your eye and shake your hand. Soft skills.
Right, without spell check even.
Right. You can't just text. When do you shut this off? We've got to work on that tradigital model. Yeah. Traditional and digital, both at the same time. So one should not replace the other.
Yeah, how do you talk? How do you read? How do you read body language? If 80% of all communication is nonverbal,
right,
this box approach isn't going to work, but
you need
have
both,
the other stuff.
Because what does rapport look like in a teleconference with Beijing? Because Learjet's doing that tonight, and you got to be good at that too. So you need both. But the problem is we seem to do one or the other, but we need to do tradigital right down the middle. What are the skills in the room? We need to work on that still. Speech prep and delivery, I think, is still big. All of our best presidents were wonderful debaters. Remember when people could debate and talk really well? You know what I mean?
You mean just... I'm sorry. I'm a Ron White fan. And with that, I won't say we're out. Thanks for coming by, Kevin. Thanks, Gare.
Right on.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love, and I'll see you tomorrow.